Shoes. Recorded live.
All right.
Hey, welcome. What's going on?
All right, man. How are you doing?
Oh, surviving, man. Bengals back on track. Life is good.
Yeah, life is pretty good. Just going to wait to see if Big Hotch is going to make the call.
Did he find the phone? Yeah.
Well, it's just sad that in 2015, about to be 16, we have to see if somebody actually has a phone.
I was trying to be, like, nice and not say nothing, but, yeah. I completely agree.
Big Hutch has what I like to call Unabomber tendency sometimes. where he will go absolute hermit and not...
I've known the man many years. I know exactly what you're talking about. So
I'm gonna give him a couple of minutes to see if he can join the call. I put it out to a couple of other people too, so I'm gonna see. I know, you know, doing talk to you. I mean, I think you went through it the other day. Is it ain't easy to figure out how to do it without direction.
That first time was kind of brutal, but
I was like, how am I? I'm supposed to be the host. And I was like, I couldn't remember. And I had done a few talk shows with like Geek Soul Brother and Geeking Over 40. Like, I've done a couple of them. And but I'd never hosted. So,
I
don't know. It was just different. So I was just trying to figure it out. And it was all, bad. But
so we'll just it's definitely a little confusing. Yeah.
So, again, this is the producer, a.k.a. Lil Hutch. I got Sandman on the line.
What's up, y'all?
Over 40. Yeah, this is Who Dey Over 40, Episode 2. If you look on TalkShoe, it'll say it's Episode 4, but that's just basically me fooling with TalkShoe, trying to figure out how to do it. this is only Episode 2. We took a couple of weeks off, essentially, after the two losses. We just didn't have any time to do it. So we're back at it this week. So let's just go. Let's deal with the losses first, okay?
Right.
The Monday night game against the Texans. Did you watch all of that?
Yeah. You know, I was all hyped up about it and scared to death. And as usual, the Bengals kind of show you why. I mean, I don't know what it is. It's almost like something in their DNA that certain games, like, they're getting better at it. But, certain of these primetime games, man, they just act like they just cannot get everything together. Even so, at the end of the game, we kind of touched on this on the other podcast. Like, they almost came back and won that game.
Right.
But, they are getting better. I mean, they've been together so long, the core of the group, that they are actually persevering more and better and better. And you've seen it this year, that Seattle game. The comeback was amazing. I mean, as Bengal fans, we've never seen that. You know, you're in the same boat as I am. I've never seen that in my whole life of them come back and win a game like that. So, yeah, it was brutal at the time to kind of wrap that up. But obviously they lost the next week too. We all were kind of like starting to sweat a little bit because, you know, Pittsburgh, they always seem to make that charge at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And that's what I was really worried about. But, you know, yesterday was very good, very, very good sign. They came back, beat the hell out of St. Louis, which is exactly what we needed to see. So how did you feel about it yourself? Yeah.
Yeah, I just the Houston game was devastating to me. And I think we talked a little bit about it. I took, like, maybe 2 days off all social networking and, like, sports talk radio. I mean, I checked my Twitter for like a whole day just because I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, it was brutal. Yeah.
Yeah, them losing a primetime game again. And then against a team that isn't any good. And, well, I mean, they haven't lost since they won that game. But, you know, it just didn't make any sense. They did almost come back and win. But I was thinking about it this other day. I was like, that's a classic trap game.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a classic trap game. And because you have
very much so.
Yeah, Monday night game, you had the Sunday night game, one against a team that isn't very good, against another team that's going to be very good. You know they were going to be hyped up to play against Carson Palmer. So it was a classic trap. So you kind of could have saw it coming, but I think we were just all dancing with 9-0 in our head that we just weren't even thinking about that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they were still undefeated. Yeah. And at the time, and we were all, you know, none of us, we were all like, yeah, we're going undefeated and all that, you know, knowing good and well that they were going to lose eventually. But, you know, just the manner in which they lost is the way it's kind of disturbing. But I didn't really feel that bad about the Arizona game that bad. I mean, except for, you know, the defense at the end, that was the only thing that kind of really upset me. You know, they just let them go downfield. But the fact that they actually came back and tied it after kind of, you know, a lot of things were going against them in that game. And they persevered that pretty well. So that's a good thing. You know, that's a good build for playoffs because, you know, bad things are going to happen a lot of times when you're in the playoffs, you know, playing playoff games. So that's hopefully that translates to the postseason. So.
Yeah, and then we were traveling on Sunday night and by the time we got to the hotel, they had just gone down 21-14, and I went into classic superstition mode, and I was like, turn off. You know, I was like, I don't want to lose to Carson Palmer. I don't want to lose two games in a row, and I completely went into the bag on that one. And when I finally checked Twitter to see what had happened, you know, probably around, I don't know, 12:30, I was like, oh, man, I should have watched it. And then they get hosed on a ridiculous call.
And,
you know, the call on Pecco is just ridiculous. I've never seen that call in 44 years of life. I've never seen that call get made.
Yeah.
Let alone at the end of the game.
We lightly kind of touched on that last time too. How you just never see stuff, weird stuff like that. Only it seems to happen to the Bengals at strange times like that. You know, I've never even heard of that call. You know,
And of all people, Pecco, you know, he's not one to try to keep it. So it made no sense whatsoever. And I was like, come on, man. Now, that seems like a total makeup.
It was
call.
It was just the cherry on top, you know, everything else. Like, of course that happens. You know, and then after they had come all the way back, you know. And, you know, that was the final cherry on top. And they kicked the field goal one. I was like, yeah, of course. So,
they're going to kill Andy Dalton if he didn't win the game. But he wasn't the reason that they lost, for sure.
He was the reason they came back. You know, you can't say – that's what I said, you know, a couple of coworkers the next day. It's like, hey, you cannot blame him. He was the reason they came back. You know, he wasn't perfect by any means. But, I mean, he can be a serviceable NFL quarterback, above average. And,
And the defense who was giving up, 10, 6, and 10 coming in that, wound up giving up 30-something, which is completely out of there. And then, again, Adam Jones doesn't play. They definitely needed him, you know, and then Denard. A lot of the kid from Alabama who was just hurt, like, all the time before he got to play. I can't remember his name right now.
Kirk Patrick, skinny Drake, as opposed to Fat Dre. Yeah. Oh, don't get me started on Fat Dre with the Olay block that nearly got Dalton killed. Man, I'm glad that cat's not gonna be gone next year. They already drafted his replacement. They pretty much had already told him.
Yeah,
they gone.
Yeah. No, Fat Dre gets a bad rap sometimes too.
It's true.
And he is a very quality run blocker. That's for sure.
Yeah, he's a mashing. As far as a run block, he can mash, but you know, pass blocking ain't his forte, really. So.
Right. Hold on, Hutch Bucks is actually in the chat.
Okay.
And so is Jay Les, which is my uncle. I'm trying to get them to call in. See.
Okay.
You have to hold on.
Yeah.
So we just hold on. Try to get them to get on the call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if Big Hutch is using a phone or if he's using the voiceover thing. Let's see if he want to get there. But I didn't watch that game, and so then I went on radio silence again. I was on vacation because I didn't have any chance to watch or see SportsCenter anyway. And then we get to the game this week against the Rams, and I was a little bit nervous about that because you don't really know. I mean, you could be Green Bay, who started off essentially the same way, and then really had to recover from that first loss. I mean, they just had to.
Right.
And
yeah.
I was kind of concerned And I didn't have an opportunity to watch the game, so I was just kind of following it on my phone as I'm, you know, taking out Christmas trees and lights and all those types of things. And then I'm like, okay. And then I, like, kind of forgot about it because they were so far off.
Yeah, they did pretty well. I mean, they came out and immediately, I think it was the first drive, they went right downfield and bam, hit A.J., little touchdown. That's when I was like, okay, they're all right, you know. The Rams were like the perfect remedy for that. I mean, they actually got a decent defense, but man, they just went right downfield on them and scored. So that's a really good sign. So
yeah, it was
after that.
And I watched the highlights at some point in time, and I was like, you know, that looks like the team that we saw for the first eight weeks. You know, that's able to run a full complement offense. You know, finally with a running game. You know, and finally, Jerry Hill kind of gets off the snide, and I'm like, all right, well, here we go. This is what we're going to need going into these last few weeks.
Exactly. That was my main concern. Like, they had to have some semblance of a running game, like when it starts getting cold, when they, you know, because obviously they got to play Pittsburgh again. They're going up north, Cleveland this week.
Right.
And, you know, those are the games where you got to have a little bit of a run. When the weather gets bad, you know, and obviously when the playoffs get here. So, yeah, that was encouraging, I think.
Well, you had mentioned about bad things happening to the Bengals. I woke up this morning when I saw how the Browns lost that game.
That was so Bengal-like.
Yeah, well, no, it is Brown-like. The Browns have become their own definition of sadness, really. I was like, I saw it on SportsCenter. Like, it's only happened twice ever in football history. Honestly, we're lining up to kick the game-winning field goal. Oh, it's blocked to come back. Seriously?
That's 90s ever.
You should be numb to it as a Browns fan, I guess, but still.
It still hurts because, I mean, obviously we both survived through the 90s here. As ironically, I was listening to 700 WLW. They were talking about that game, and they basically made the same correlation I did. It was like, man, that's straight up the 90s Bengals. Everything and anything will go wrong always. And that's exactly what it felt like when I saw that.
Yeah.
Thank God we finally came out of that. I mean, we owe Marvin Lewis a debt of gratitude because it was all his doing that he changed that. So, you know, they got Mike Brown to change things, and that's when they started, you know, making the playoffs every year. So, the drafts. So,
I mean, the Browns are the Bengals in the 90s, essentially. And
straight
up. It does come down to quarterback, but I think the culture of losing there. And the culture of the pressure of trying to win. It's really like the Cubs, actually. Like, you
can
so much, like, Loserville pressure attached to it. And I think any good player or any good quarterback that comes in there, they just can't – the Messiah complex becomes such a burden. And
it's overpowering. It's overpowering.
You even see it with LeBron. I mean, initially he left because I think it was just too much pressure. You know,
it was all on him.
And he came back, but it's still there. You know, because all that pressure is still there.
I mean, when he went to Miami, he won his championships, and now, you know, it was easy for him to come back after he had them championships under his belt. So you know, now, but Cleveland, you know, they still ain't won. You know, Shiite, as we always say.
Right.
So. It's that culture, man. We suffered under it for so many years with the Bengals. The 90s, I mean, we keep referring to it, but, man, they were a nightmare. Yeah. Everything. I mean, I almost got into a fight with some cats over that one time. It was another one of the crazy little stories when I was in the military, man. It hurt, man. I used to scream, man, I hate Mike Brown.
You preaching to the choir, saying, "Man, I can't take it." I mean, and I can't believe I didn't quit. But what it is, more than anything, I used to savor the wins like a good Cabernet, man. Like, I would sniff it and hold it for like hours, and just like, oh my gosh, this is like, you know, and a couple times they did, you know, pull like 7 and 9s and 8 and 8s, and you were like, man, you know what? they're about to turn the corner. You know, this year they're going to get this person. And, you know, you just have, you know, hope they sign a free agent. They never sign a free agent. You just get so big in that. And I was just I can't do this anymore. Like, to a point, like, once, I mean, we talked about this on the podcast. It didn't happen the first one. That once they, like, when it was, when they fired LeBeau, and I was like, if they hire some booty coach or do something like that, I was like, I was done. Like, there was no way I was going back after that one.
Who came after LeBeau? Was that was after after Shula and after?
Or was that Marvin Lewis?
Oh, okay, okay. It's been so long ago, man. Yeah, he's been there what 13 years. It's been a minute.
Yeah, it has. It's been forever. And like, yeah, he leads into that, and I couldn't. If they had hired some terrible person, I would have been done. I think that's an inside story. I don't think I've ever told y'all this story. I was a counselor then. It was 2003. So, yeah, I was a counselor. One of my students, her uncle is Mike Mularkey. And Mike Mularkey was one of the finalists for that job between him and Marvin Lewis. And she knew I was a Bengals fan or whatever. And she came to me, like, very late in that process. She was like, you know, my uncle got the job. I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, no, like, whoever the owner is, whatever, called and blah, 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 and said they want the job. They, you know, he's going to get the job. He's going to be the next coach. And I was like, Mike Mularkey, man. I was like, all upset already. I was like, I'm done.
And
come to find out later on, you know, that's who Mike Brown wanted, but Katie wanted Marvin Lewis.
Oh, he got overruled,
he
really.
He went in and out in that whole little final battle there, and then he winds up becoming the coach. So
I never heard that.
Oh no, that is an absolute true story, because Mike Mularkey is from Fort Lauderdale, and that's where I was living at the time. And came in, she's like, my uncle got the job. Like, we talked about it like all on the phone like last night. I'm like, really, man?
Wow.
Mike Mularkey. You see how that turned out for him and the time that he had a coaching job. Terrible. Was he in Jacksonville also?
I think
Maybe so. Buffalo for sure.
He was a head coach, right? For at least one team, I'm guessing. I do remember the name prominently. But
he's the Titans interim coach right now.
Oh, gotcha.
He's the Titans interim head coach.
I didn't even know he was still in the league. But
All right. He's so still kicking. I guess I see Hutch Bucks is in the chat. And there's a guest number 5 in the chat. I keep telling them you can log into the call at the bottom. All the information's there. Just go ahead and call in. And I'm trying to get Big Hutch to use the voiceover thing, but he hasn't gotten to it yet. Because you can call in over the computer. I've never done that either. But let's see. So we got the game this week against the Browns. Once again, they are in flux.
They're a mess.
But Josh McCown goes out for the season with a broken collarbone last night, and then Austin Davis comes in and finishes the game and almost leads them, you know, just like the Browns, leads them to the jaws of defeat. So we get them this week. I was listening to Mo Egger driving home from work today. And
I was listening too. Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, "Oh, all they essentially have to do, the Bengals have to do, is show up," and it's a classic trap game too. This is a classic.
Oh,
trap
big
game.
Time.
Yeah,
big time.
Is the Steelers the next week?
I believe so. Browns, then Steelers, then the Ravens are the last game of the year, I believe.
Ravens
so
are
there's
last.
There's a couple of games in between there.
Arizona's in there. Not Arizona.
Right. They are
playing
Arizona. San Francisco, that's right.
Francisco's in there. Hold on. Let me pull up the schedule now. Yeah, it's Browns. That's a classic trap game.
Huge. And it's in Cleveland.
It's in Cleveland where they've historically not
played
well.
Terribly. Yeah.
Yeah, and also against a shaky quarterback.
Is it going to be Johnny Manziel, or is it going to be that other dude that I've never heard of?
I mean, I think, and I didn't see much of the game last night. I just heard it and talking about it on talk radio this morning about, you know, there was no thought of going to Manziel last night.
That's why I'm asking.
And,
right.
So it's either, I'm assuming it's going to be Austin Davis. He played for the Rams last year, and he won some games. It's not like he's a terrible quarterback.
Okay.
To me,
he's played, yeah.
More, cause it kind of reminds me of the dude from the Texans, you know, just kind of comes in and does something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think with Johnny Manziel, the Bengals have figured him out. Like, they know how that's going to go.
When they played him last time, they figured it out in the game. Once they kept him in the pocket, it was pretty much cancel Christmas, yeah. Lights out. Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't get nothing after that. But if he can't get outside the pocket, he can't be effective. So.
Right, yeah, he can't. And once they figured that out, I would prefer it be Johnny Manziel.
Me too.
And the unknown character or cat. But So, yeah, you got
off the street.
You know, but it's a 1 o'clock start. You know they'll be ready for a 1 o'clock start.
They're the kings of the 1 o'clock starts. So, yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I got that going.
Yeah, if you get to 10-1, 10-2.
10-2.
And then now you really have to start talking about playoff seeding at this point, especially with New England losing, not only losing to Denver,
yeah.
But then also losing Gronkowski for, at a minimum, 1 week.
One game.
I mean, they
have
no offensive weapons at all. They really didn't have any to begin with. They're just giving up Tom Brady's great.
Yeah, it's always been Brady for them, except for Gronk. None of them other cats were really that great, except for, what was it, Julius Edelman, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Edelman and Amendola.
Amendola. Yeah, their entire team is hurt. So, you know, eventually that's going to catch up to them.
Right,
but, you know.
So, yeah, the Patriots are at Eagles this weekend.
Oh, they went in that.
Yeah. And then I think Denver is either at Kansas City or Kansas City's at Denver.
At Denver.
Yeah,
that could be. Who knows what's going to happen there? Kansas City's one of them crazy teams, but Denver should win. But yeah.
Well, you never know. They're at Chargers.
At the Chargers.
So that's a division game.
Right.
So you really got to have to. You got to play for wins, and then you kind of got to hope for. The Broncos to lose another game because you want to have that game in your pocket because you don't want to be tied to them for the and then having that game come down to decide who's going to be the 1 or 2 seed.
Right, because the Bengals said they have to play Denver in Denver. That's what I just remembered.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's going to be, and they got a good defense, man. So it's similar to the Arizona game. That could go either way, but you got to expect that they're probably not going to win that game. But even the Peyton is the quarterback, or what's his name, Brock Osweiler, whoever
his
name, Osweiler. Yeah, I can't see his list.
It's setting up to be one of those things where Peyton's going to get healthy, and then they're going to have to make a decision on if they're going to roll with Peyton or if they're going to keep the hot hand.
I'm
always a hot hand person. You to me, you can't turn it back over to Peyton Manning because even if he's healthy, he's still
he's done. Yeah, he's done. He cannot throw the ball anymore. That would actually be better for the Bengals if Peyton actually played, in my opinion. Right now, because he doesn't have the arm anymore. That age has finally caught up to him.
And that's going to be a late winter game in Denver.
Does
not perform well in that weather as well.
Not at all. No, not an outside. Yeah, in domes, he's fine. You put him outside, it's a whole other matter.
Yeah, so I'm kind of hoping that, like I said, maybe the Eagles, even though they've given up 45 points in the last 2 weeks.
That man, they are horrible. My boy's an Eagles fan, and oh man, I hear it all the time. They are horrible. So you can pretty much
terrible. Forget
about that one. So we got to allow a little bit, for that chance. But most likely it ain't going to happen.
Right.
I'm not counting on it. Let me put it that way. But
yeah, so Broncos go Chargers at Chargers, Raiders home.
Mm-hmm.
And then at Steelers, and then they play the Bengals. So, that's not an easy run for them either.
That's a rough schedule.
On the road, and that's before the Bengals game. And so the Bengals setup is a little bit easier than that because they go Browns at Steelers,
mm-hmm.
and then Broncos on Sunday night, and then at, then at Broncos.
Yeah, that's a brutal schedule.
Yeah, I mean, they need, and I know I'm quoting Big Hutch here, they need one of those weeks off. They cannot be playing Wild Card Weekend. I'm sorry.
No, they have got to get
if Houston game
right.
sticks out so hard anymore, man, because they needed to have that game in the hole, and they didn't.
And they didn't get it. Yeah, it was just like the Browns game last year on Thursday night. It was the same thing, Thursday night game. Or was it? No, it was Monday night. I'm sorry. I got that mixed up. But, yeah, they lost. They lost either way, you know. And, yeah, when they dropped that game, I was like, oh, man, here we go. Now they're going to have to be a wild card probably.
Right.
Who knows? I think the way it sets up, they will get the number two seed probably. I'm hoping, obviously we're all hoping, but yeah, they really do need to get that that bye and get that home game, at least one home game before they'd have to. Yeah,
the way it's setting up, it's going to wind up, if they don't get the first or the second seed and they get that third seed, they're going to wind up playing either the damn Texans or the Colts,
which is, we damn sure don't want the Texans, man. There's something about they got a good D, obviously. And the Bengals just do not perform well against them. I don't know exactly what it is, but they need to avoid that at all costs.
Yeah,
I
don't want to play the Steelers.
I don't want to see that either. That's just one of them.
A little bit of trouble.
Yeah, that's just one of them teams that just seems to have the, you know, whatever it is, they just always seem to have their number. So when it counts, anyway, when it counts.
Yeah.
So
the Steelers are in a little bit of trouble. They go. They have the Colts this week, but it's at home. But you don't know who's quarterback. The Colts.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't know who's quarterback in the Steelers because Roethlisberger.
Ben, yeah, he had the concussion protocol. So.
Yeah, then the Bengals, Broncos, then the Ravens game is a peanuts game now, and then they finish Ravens Browns at both at Ravens at Browns.
At Ravens at Browns. Wow.
So yeah, so they could conceivably win their last two for sure. I mean,
definitely.
That loss to Seattle hurt them pretty bad. Actually.
Yeah, that was a huge boon for the Bengals because it looked like Ben was going to pull that out. I mean, they just kept scoring on them. I mean, Seattle's defense wasn't doing nothing against them. And I bet Russell Wilson, man, I don't know how he does it, but he worked that magic and got that touchdown, and that was it at the end.
Yeah.
So
one of the guests in the chat, guest five, or she, I'm assuming it's a dude, but he has said maybe it's going to wind up being like Kansas City or Buffalo winds up in one of those wild cards, but that's in Cincinnati. I'll take either of those two, especially
I'll
Buffalo.
Take either of those. Buffalo, definitely. They can handle Buffalo.
Especially
they've already
Buffalo.
Done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
Kansas, I mean, even Kansas City. They played both of them, ironically, already, and beat both of them.
Yeah,
and
beat both of them pretty badly, too.
Pretty badly. And obviously, they were both in Cincinnati, just like that game would be, too. So that bodes well if they could do that, you know. And all they got to do is get that one first playoff game, you know, and just get that monkey off their back.
Get the monkey off their back. Yeah.
Once that happens, that opens the floodgates, I promise you. So they just got to get that one. So.
Yeah. Yeah, guest five brought up. We thought it was going to be the San Diego game. I'll go back to this until I fall on my face. At 7-all, Gio's going into the end zone to score a touchdown.
That was so devastating. Oh my God!
That was pretty much it, and I think it was it for me, and I think it was it for them, and it was a wrap.
Yes.
For me.
It was over after that.
They go up 14-7. There, everybody's hyped. Crowd is hyped. It's just going to, you know, I think it's something. And he makes that, he fumbles. And I think the first time he fumbled since that fumble was the fumble he had on Sunday.
On Sunday when he broke that big run.
He fumbled since then, yeah. He has a fumble.
Yeah, the screen, yeah. Yeah, screen pass, yeah.
And that's so funny because he tucked that ball away. You know, my son plays football now. I'm like, tuck that ball away. And he tucked it. It still got poked out. So sometimes the ball just bounces. But,
thank God for Tyler Eifert, but yeah. Yeah.
Almost got hurt, and Eifert gets hurt on that.
They're saying that he may not play on Sunday, which didn't thrill me. But
yeah, but if
I don't know.
Holding out, would you rather hold him out?
Rather hold him out because he is essential to that damn offense, man. He opens up that middle, and that changes Andy Dalton completely.
Yeah,
so.
And also, but they could win against the Browns without Tyler Eifert. They
can.
Against the Steelers without Tyler Eifert.
No, not against one of these better teams. They got to have Eifert open up that middle, because then he's going to be trying to throw the ball to AJ more. And, you know, you and I both know he just tends to force the ball to AJ sometimes. And that's when bad stuff starts happening. You know, when he's got those other options open in the middle of the field, Geo or Marvin Jones or something, you know, that's when we need him, you know.
I want to get through this Browns game, and then we can focus on Steelers week. It's a definite trap game, and I have choir practice with my daughter on Sunday at 1:00. And he's like, no.
Man.
I was like, could y'all have done that at a worst possible time?
Oh, you know, man, you're going to have to have your phone out.
Yeah, well, you know what, though? I'll be in church so I can pray that they win. And,
there you go.
I can, kind of take care of that part of it. But I just want to get through that game Sunday. And then, you know, now we're sitting at 10-2. You know, you got your last quarter games to go.
Right.
All of them winnable. You can't be like, well, you know, and they should be favored in all of them except at Denver.
At Denver, that's the only one that they shouldn't be favored in.
And favored, probably at least by 3 points in all of them. So, I mean, they could definitely win that. Guess Five just said he put the prediction in at 27-17 Bengals. And Browns ain't scoring 17 points.
They ain't scoring 17 points. That's exactly what I was about to say. They might score 10. But the Bengals will win the game. Unless people just start getting hurt left and right, and God please don't let that happen.
Goofy play, block, punch, fumble, recovery.
Yes, if you don't get cute and just run the ball and then, you know, open it up, you know, when they try to stop the run, that's when you start going down the field. And that's the formula for success. So if they do that, they'll win by multiple touchdowns easily.
Right.
So, and that's what they did against the Rams. So
I didn't watch any, and I didn't look at the highlights. Did what's that cornerback for the Browns? Did he play against
Hayden?
Is that
Hayden
him?
Or the other one?
I don't think
he did.
Because he does well against AJ.
He does, he does very well against AJ. I was just about to say that. Now, the other corner ain't very bad either, but these last couple of games, they've been kind of getting with him, these other teams. So I'd much rather go against him than Hayden. And, that was their first-round draft choice, the other corner.
Yeah.
And Hayden, too, like a couple of years before him. So, you know, that dude.
Yeah, he's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been, like, tearing him up lately.
Yeah. But the Browns can't run, and they can't – and they don't have anybody to throw it, and then the wide receivers are – shaky at best.
Suspect.
They got that tight end. What was it, Barnage or whatever? That's really
Gary Barnage. Yeah. That's the
best
receiver by far. I don't even know who their other starting wide receivers are. Dude that used to be with the Bengals still with him, with them? Shorty, you know what I'm talking about.
Artrell Hawkins' brother.
His brother. Andrew. Is Andrew Hawkins?
Yeah, he didn't play in the post game. He was hurt. I think he was in concussion protocol. I think it's Brian Hartline is one of the starters.
That's right. Hartline is there, too.
As the other starter.
Right. Okay, there you go. Okay. I mean, as much as an Ohio State fan I am, I mean, Hartline ain't really that great. So, you know.
Brian Hartline.
Right.
We need to get through that game. I can deal with the rest of the game. And like I said, we need – With Gronk going out, and hopefully, I don't know, Philly can pull a Philadelphia miracle, and I don't think it need to take that much for the Chargers to beat the Broncos.
No, the Chargers still got their offense. Yeah, that can't happen. That could be real world upset. So
But you know what? Rivalry games are rivalry games. This is like this Bengals Browns game. You know, they could they never turn out totally the way that you expect them.
Never. There's always something. Yeah. They're just they're usually either defensive struggles or ugly games that, you know, are a lot closer than any of us want them to be. Or, you know, I'm fully expecting that, you know, it's going to be ugly.
It'll be closer than it's supposed to, at least for a half.
I think the first half will be close, and then kind of like the was it the Thursday night game when the Bengals played him in Cincy, you know, they just overwhelmed him and eventually just pull away from him.
Right.
And I think that's more than likely what will happen on this one, too.
Right.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I believe it will, because this last week boosted my confidence a lot that, you know, they took it to the Rams, man. The Rams had no chance.
And the Rams,
it was over with.
And the Rams have a very good defense. And you know,
yeah, they do. Yeah, and they still – and they spanked them. Yeah. So, I mean, they're a very talented team for a reason, you know, and that talent usually shows up. So, I'm pretty confident about that.
And you got to think at a point here in the last whatever of the season, a lot of Browns players got to be thinking about summer vacation and golf at this point.
After last night, boy, they ain't thinking nothing about no football anymore, I don't think, man. Because that was as brutal as it gets. Yeah,
and they're coming off short week and emotional devastation.
It was terrible. Yeah.
So, and I was listening to somebody or reading, maybe it was Peter King today or something, that they can't name Manziel the starter, and hold any amount of credibility anymore. Like,
exactly.
Starter, because he's messed up so much. You can't be like, we're gonna start him now. I mean, you can't.
What would it prove anyway? I mean, you know, he's not going to be there next year anyway, more than likely. And why are you going to start him in this game? You know, you're most likely not going to win anyway. I mean, it just doesn't prove anything. So, I mean, and like you said, they lose all the face, if they try to start him after all that they did, bringing in the other guy over him, you know, basically embarrassing him. So
they public shamed him last night. No, they didn't
do it. Big time.
Put one of those little placards on him, like he was standing outside a sub shop. You know, I disappointed my coach, and now I have to stand out here in front of all these people. I'd rather see him go on Sunday. I know exactly what we're gonna get with him. He's gonna make a play or two. They'll keep everything in front of him. Nobody's gonna get behind anybody, and he's gonna, you know, run the offense between the 20 and the 50 and not make any
exactly.
The game he had against the Steelers, everybody's like, oh, you know, he threw for like 372 or whatever he threw for. They scored 6 points. I mean,
it was never in doubt.
I'm like, what are y'all talking about? I mean, he scored no points. He didn't score no points. So,
yeah, and that's all that matters in the end. All the stats in the world don't mean a damn thing. If, you know, if you're not scoring any points, putting any points on the board. So, yeah, you're right. We know what to expect with him. You know, this other guy, we don't know what he's going to be, you know, so which worked, like you were saying earlier, kind of worries me. But I think we'll adjust enough to be able to win the game eventually. I think we'll win the game. I know that much. So
I'll go prediction-wise. Like I said, Guess 5 gave their prediction. Let me see if Guess 5 has a single nickname. Hold on.
Okay.
I'm typing. I'm going to go prediction-wise with I'm going to probably say 29-10, something like that, you know, Bengals. That's my guess.
I'm going to go 27-7.
27-7.
Yeah, that sounds logical to me, because the Browns are bad. I mean, they're just not going to score much. It's just not going to. They're not going to be able to score enough.
Yeah, it's only definitely the challenge to me. It's only going to take one bad play to turn it. You know what I mean?
Quickly.
Man, I can't believe he just fumbled. Oh, I can't believe he just did 6. And,
interception, a sack, anything, just completely turn the tide on.
And people start booing, and then it's just, you know, it just goes downhill. They'll start thinking about, you know.
Quickly.
I'm looking at Guess 5 Bengal nicknames. As Zander is my homeboy. Like, I'm assuming like Carl Zander.
Carl Zander from back in the day?
Well,
look at
not him himself, but yeah. Oh, 91.
Yeah.
I like him.
Man. Yeah, that's back in the day, bro.
Yes, it is. Well, it's Bengal fans over 40. So
yeah, well, yeah, we up there, so point. Yeah, we would know. names I had forgotten about, yeah.
Wow,
that's funny. That's good.
Yeah, so that's great. All right, so we're going to wrap up episode 2 or 3. Well, the second one that's actually getting recorded.
That actually survived, yeah.
Wrap that up. That survived the recording process. We'll try to do, like I said, I have a thing from 1 to 3-ish, and then maybe we can kind of get together after that. Hopefully it's a win, and we can kind of dissect that. And then, you know, probably during the 4 o'clock games or after the 4 o'clock games, we can, you know, see what's happening and, you know, have some updated playoff seeding and whatnot. And, you know, like I said, let's just get the 10-2. That's basically all I'm hoping for. No, 10-2 and no major injuries. That's all we want.
I don't think that's too much to ask.
Yeah, you got to come out of it unscathed. You can't be taking, especially offensive injuries. I think the defense is deep enough, except at corner.
That corner now. Yeah, losing Denard kind of hurt. Yeah,
and you could tell when Pac-Man wasn't in there that the pass defense wasn't the same either.
It was completely different.
Yeah, it's completely different. So, you know, if you can come out of the game with no real injuries and be 10-2 and be healthy for Steelers week, I don't think the group Bengals is afraid of the Steelers. Like, I think we are more afraid of them than they are.
Definitely. We dread the Steelers. We've had it beaten into us. Yeah, these players, man, they don't have the 40-year full of pain that we that we've had to suffer through. I mean, it's another game for them. You know, I mean, but not just another game, but it's a yeah.
I think I read somewhere where Andy Dalton's won 2 games in Pittsburgh already in his career.
Yeah, he has.
And,
yeah.
What's his name? Carson Palmer never won 2 games.
Carson Palmer. They never, ever won. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
With Chad, I mean, all of them. TJ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's won 1 game in Pittsburgh as the quarterback.
Yeah. That was the game that TJ used the terrible towel to shine his cleats off. Yeah, that was – I remember that game. Yeah, that was it. That was the only one in his career. Yeah, so.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I'm good. And that was – and I remember that game. That was the – I remember. I was actually here in Georgia. I didn't live here at the time. I was here visiting Big Hodge. I remember that game very well.
That was a long time ago.
What's that running back? Was it Bernard Scott? Didn't he run a kickoff back for a touchdown?
Was it him or somebody did? Because I remember the Steelers had just scored and the Bengals immediately, they got the kickoff and took it back for the touchdown. He got it down like the 10 or the 5 or something and they ran it in.
It was him or Tab Perry. It was one or the other.
Tab Perry. Woo. Yeah, it was. It was one of them obscure Bengals, but yeah, it was. That's how they won the game. They got back on top. Special teams. So.
Well, thanks, Sam. Man, we appreciate it, man. I know that Big Hutch will be around. You got to get some minutes on his phone or something. I don't know.
Always a pleasure.
Well, no problem. I'll try to get over there Sunday so we can get him there or get his technology up to date where he could dial it in on his computer.
We got to update that.
Xander is my homeboy for chaining. We appreciate it, man. Next time you got to call into the call. You know, you don't have to stay in the chat. You can call into the call, and like I said, we'll send it out and let everybody know. You know, when we're going to do this. I'm going to try for Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening. And then we'll let Xander know about following us on Facebook or whatever. So cool. So thanks, man. We appreciate y'all, and we'll see you next Sunday. On Sunday, who day?
Who day?
All right, man. Later.
All right, now. Peace.